but we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25 today. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. If your heart is heavy this morning, I want you to reach out to the Lord. From time to time, I look at the folks and I think, I'm not going to say a stupid joke. Not yet. Not yet. But I look out and I say, I know a little bit about what everybody's going through. I know what some people are going through. And I just want to let you know that, number one, you are loved. You are loved by the Most High God, and He loves you so much. If He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you so your sins can be forgiven, so you can spend eternity with Him, think about that. You are loved. I mean, you are really, really loved. And here you got your crisis or whatever you might be stealing your joy right now. And remember, this God that loves you so much, He says, I didn't just send my Son to die on that cross and raise from the dead for you to have eternal life, but for you to have peace of mind as well. For you to have peace as you go through this crazy world that we live in, that God wants us to have peace. And He says, you release these burdens, these fears, these anxieties. You release these, whatever it might be. You give it to God, and He says, I'll give you peace. You give me these burdens, I'll give you peace, and you let me work on it. You let God work on these issues that are bigger than you, that are still in your joy. So you're going to do what you can do. But when you hit that roadblock and you're like, God, I can't go any further. I'm dealing with this situation. When you've done all you can do, just continue standing on the Word of God and trusting God's promises and give it to God. Even if you have to give it to God, five times in 5 minutes. You say, I don't want to give it to God five times in 5 minutes. Man, I dig it. I hear you. But, you have a choice of entertaining these fears, these doubts, whatever it is. You can do that. You're going to dig a deep, deep hole. Or you can say, you know what? This thought, this is not of God. I know what God's word says. So I'm rebuking this. I'm giving this to the Lord. And then I'm going to fill that in my mind with one of God's promises. I'm just going to stay in prayer. The good book says, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Obviously, you can't go 24/7 praying, but it's talking about having that attitude of communion with God throughout the day, spending that time with Him. And I tell you, if you do that, you're going to have more peace. I promise you. So there it is. I just want to throw that out there. That is not our sermon today, but God does want us to have peace. And He wants us to not only have peace, but joy. Joy. In the middle of the storm, whatever you're going through, He wants us to have joy. There's a lost and dying, maybe this is the sermon. There's a lost and dying world out there that really needs to see your testimony lived out by the way you go through whatever's going on. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. This is the Apostle Paul. He's using another sports metaphor, or sports picture that he's painting for his audience. He's talking to the Corinthian believers. Now, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, this was kind of a worldly church. There was a lot of sin going on in the church. So the Apostle Paul, is encouraging them and kind of sternly, encouraging them, hey, get on the right path. Get back on the right path. So the Corinthian church, or the city of Corinth, they had this huge Olympic-style race, or this huge Olympic style games that would go on every other year. It was a big thing for the city. Okay, so when he talks about, when he's using this running thing, this sports thing, the people in Corinth were like, yeah, okay, I get it. You're like, if he was writing to Talladega or something, like talk about racing cars and all that, those cats would get it. It's part of their world, So this was a big thing to the Corinthians. And so he's using what will work to get a hold of these people, and we understand it as well today. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run? So What's he talking about? He's not just talking about racers. He's using that picture, but he's talking all runners run. He's talking about Christians, okay? He's talking to a bunch of church people. He says, you're all in a race. He's not talking about humanity. He's talking about Christians in their Christian journey or their life devoted to serving Jesus. Your life devoted to serving Jesus. That's how we can look at our race, okay? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm in this race. I got this Christian journey where God says, you know what? Be devoted to me because I've been good to you. I mean, he could just say, be devoted, serve me, you know, and that's good enough. You know, he's our master. But he says, look, you know, I've been good to you. I've been so good to you. And in your heart, if you're a saved person, if you're a Christian person, you know, I'm not saying you don't have problems. I'm not saying you don't have wind and waves, but you know God has been so good. I mean, I've just been blown away lately. And yeah, I got my issues. I got my things. I got so many issues. I got back issues. not just, never mind. That's the stupidest thing. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Now, I got to say this. All runners run, but only one receives the prize. The Apostle Paul is not saying that you are in a race against your Christian brothers and sisters. He's not saying that. He's talking about run your race like you're going to win it, like you want to finish strong. Amen? Like, I'm going to give it my all because God has been so good to me, right? Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, look with me at Philippians 3 and verse 12. We've been jumping back and forth from Philippians for about 3-4 weeks now. And this is another thing that the Apostle Paul says, okay? Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. I'm so glad he says that. But let's keep going. Not that I have already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. And the Apostle Paul knows he's not going to reach a place of perfection, not on this side of glory. But he says, like, only one is going to win the race. He's saying, live your life. It's like playing golf, man. I hate golf. Do not ever, ever, ever. God bless you. Don't ever ask me if we can go, you know, fellowship and play golf, because that's one thing I feel bold enough by saying, I ain't doing that. It just ain't my thing, man. Anywho, but I hear when you play golf, and I really should have done my research because I'd be completely wrong, but I hear you're kind of playing against yourself. I don't know. Use the picture. Racquetball, something. It's just you're running your race, and you want to be the best that you can be. Can I get a witness? Okay, so I'm not going to be distracted about where this person is or where I perceive they are, or it looks like God is just bamboozling them with blessings, and here I am struggling. Man, don't entertain any of that rubbish. Just run your race, focusing on the prize, focusing on the gold, focusing on that finish line. The Apostle Paul says, Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. He said, I'm going to be the best Christ follower that I can be. Amen. Now look at this next part. He says, this is the motivation right here. And this is our motivation because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now think about that for a second. That means something to the Apostle Paul. He could look back on his life and he knew what he was saved from. He knew what he was delivered from. And sometimes we've been Christians for as long as we can remember. We made that commitment so long ago that we can kind of forget what we've been saved from. I've been a Christian for so long, I don't even remember what that world, that part of my life was anymore. Well, you know what? It don't hurt. Not that we ain't bound by that stuff. That stuff ain't ruining my productivity about tomorrow. But you know what? When I think about the things that I was saved from, man, it gets me fired up, you know, because I was on my way to hell. Just like you, I was on my way to hell and I was raised in the church. So I knew when I was doing wrong, and you did too, really, you know, but I sit under good teaching my whole life, scriptural teaching, man of God, heard it all the time, but you know, I'd go out sow my wild oats, whatever. I knew I was doing wrong. I knew I was breaking God's law. But see, now that I'm a saved person, I look back and I think, my God, you have been so good to me. So good to me. You know, the Apostle Paul says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own, because I was on my way to hell and he grabbed a hold of me. So he says, I take my Christian walk seriously, man. And he would, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was super zealous in his unsaved life. He was super devoted to doing what he thought was right. He was going the exact opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. Instead of being a follower of Jesus Christ, he was arresting Christians. He got joy over seeing Christians being persecuted. He thought he'd done persecuted and rounded up just about everybody he could do in the old hometown, and he was going out to different countries now and grabbing people that were Christians. But the Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, why are you doing this? And thank God for that moment in time when God reached down and he said, Paul Rott, why are you doing this, man? Why are you doing this? Brother Rick, why are you doing this? You know, so here's this amazing life change. I mean, amazing eternal life change, you know, because instead of my eternal destination being hell, you know what I mean? He said, no. I'm talking, let's go ahead and talk about eternal life. Let's talk about your sins being forgiven, your sins being washed away. Can I get a witness this morning? So, you know, do you not know that in a race, all runners run? The Apostle Paul, I think the big message that I'm getting out of that is run like you mean it. Run like you got a purpose. Be focused on the mission. But really, don't be satisfied with where you are in the Lord. Don't be complacent or satisfied. You know, I'm a saved person. Now I just got to kill time till quitting time, man, until the Lord takes me home. That's not what he saved us for. You know, we've been drafted into the army of the Most High God. You know, so here's the deal. We need to live like that, you know. And I'm not talking, just like the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already obtained it or I'm already perfect. I'm not talking from my pedestal or my ivory tower. I'm not saying I got it all together. But listen, I'm not stupid enough. Yeah, my wife might think differently, but bless her heart, she ain't here. She ain't feeling well. You know? But look, I'm not a fake. I'm not a phony, is what I'm trying to say. And I do try and practice very much. I try and practice what I preach and preach what I practice. So I'm not trying to come across like I'm perfect. But I do take this responsibility very seriously. And the Apostle Paul says, look, man, you take it serious too. You know, something big happened for you. So don't just be complacent, but live a life devoted to God like I'm the only one racing and I got to cross that finish line. I want to cross it strong. Can I get a witness? So 1 Peter, this huge price, man, that we can't even fathom. You can't even begin to fathom it. Not here, not now. I don't know on this side of glory if we'll ever really be able to grasp what has been done for us. And don't discount the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't say, well, you see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing. Don't say that they're not saved. You don't know that. You don't know that, all right? Or you hear about, well, somebody did this. He's obviously in hell for, man, shut your mouth. All right? You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, all right? And, you know, I don't want to get, yet. We can hurt, we can cause a lot of harm to a lot of people by getting on your pedestal and saying, you know what, you're about to split hell wide open, brother. When you die, man, you don't know that. You don't know. And you, matter of fact, you don't know why that person is in that situation that they're in that you're condemning them for. You don't know how they got there. You don't know what's going on. We always deliver the truth, but we got to deliver the truth in love. If you're not delivering the truth in love, just please shut your mouth. I don't know. All right. 1 Peter 1, this is Peter talking about this great thing that has happened to us. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed, that you were redeemed, that you were purchased, that you were set free. knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. So we were born with this sin DNA, man, whatever you want to call it. But you were born into this world where it was going to take you long at all before you started sinning, okay? This useless way of life is what we inherited, okay? I hate to break it to you, but mom and daddy were sinners. Grandpa and grandma were sinners. And we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Oh, man. All the way back to Adam and Eve. You know what I mean? Adam and Eve dropped the ball. And you can get mad at them all you want to. But if it would have got to you, it never would have got to you. But if you would have got to you, you would have dropped the ball too, man. You know? So anyways, here we are. But for God so loved the world that he gave his son, and this is the precious thing about it, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. Look at the next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ. Look, whatever you're going through, you got to understand this. You are loved by God. You are loved by God, and you are not alone. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So in Jewish worship, they would have to take a spotless lamb to be sacrificed as a covering for their sins. So they would take this lamb, and it would be analyzed meticulously to make sure it didn't have any spots or, you know, any wounds on it or anything, any kind of blemish whatsoever. And if it looked good, then that lamb could be sacrificed. It's kind of like an IOU or a covering until the one true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. He was the great sacrifice. All these lambs that they were sacrificing was pointing to Jesus Christ, that one day he would be that sinless, spotless lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. What kind of Christianese is that, man? Slain before the foundations of the earth. It's talking about God knew that Adam and Eve were going to drop the ball. That wasn't a surprise to him. He was like, oh my gosh, pull the plug, Gabriel. What just happened down there? He knew this. The lamb slain before the foundations, before brick one was laid into the foundation of earth. God said, this is the plan because I want to make this creation, this masterpiece, and I want them to have free will because he could have made robots all day long that just said, it's 11:07 Sunday morning, let's worship, you know. he could have done that, you know. There's no joy in that. He wanted, listen, when you see that special someone, you say, man, she sure is special. And I sure hope that she thinks I'm special too. See how that works? God said, they're precious to me. And I want them to think that I'm precious. He doesn't force you around. He doesn't force you to do these things. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Because there's no joy in that. Overpowering somebody. You can get some outward conformity out of somebody slapping them around, you know, but that don't mean their heart belongs to you. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Let's go to the next slide. Do you not know that in a race, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run that you may obtain it. Verse 25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So that's what would happen. They'd run these races. They'd have these contests. And if you win, as you were coming around, you're doing the race. And when you're coming around the last stretch, this important official would step out. And he'd hold this wreath up, man, this thing made of twigs or whatever, you know? Floral wreath. And so the winner got that. And guess what? It didn't last forever. It's going to rot like anything else. Okay. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. I get it. I understand it. You know, an athlete, he's got a different sleep schedule. I mean, he's got a very regimented life if he wants to be good at what he's trying to do. There's a lot of sacrifices. Can't eat as much as he wants. That's why I'm not an athlete. Can't eat what you want. That's why I'm not an athlete. No. They have a different devoted life. Have you ever seen the schedules of some of these Olympic people, man? It's crazy, man. All guys people said is crazy. It's nutty. But they're devoted to something that they might have a chance to be on the Olympic team. And then they really got to dig in. And then they might have a chance to win a medal. They really got to dig in. You know, they're devoted to this. Okay. You got to train. You got to be devoted. Look at Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. Yeah, we got it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Rome. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, it's not just me talking to you. I want you to focus on the mercies of God. Before I tell you what is expected of you, I want you to go back to the foot of the cross. I want you to see the mercies of God. I want you to think about that. What has been done for you? You know, that love that covers over a multitude of sins. You know, that precious, precious gift that was given for us by the mercies of God. Keep that in mind, Romans, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everybody would get it. Everybody would understand the picture of the sacrifice. They knew what he was talking about. The lamb that had to be perfect before it could be sacrificed. So present your body as a living sacrifice. There's a key thing there, living sacrifice. Not asking you to go kill yourself. But he's not, I mean, they know that, man. He's talking about a living sacrifice, not a one and done thing. You know what I mean? Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. But he says, you live your life on a daily basis off because you would offer that sacrifice to God. You would offer that to God. Say, on a daily basis, offer your life at like a living sacrifice. Every single day that you're on this earth, offer yourself to God. Be devoted to God. That means that I have to say no to things I need to say no to, even when I don't want to say no to it. You know, my flesh wants to do this. Well, you know what? I got to put that flesh down, you know, and follow Jesus Christ. Pick up my cross and follow him. Can I get a witness? Your body's as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Remember, you couldn't just get any old lamb or whatever off the street and say, here, this ought to do. He's missing a hoof or leg or I don't know what happened to him. Yeah, but here he is. His face is kind of crooked, but he's got a cuteness to it. Yeah. No, it couldn't be like that, man. You had to bring your best to the Lord. You know? So the Apostle Paul saying, man, bring your best to the Lord. Think about it. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. In all things. His life has to be centered around this goal. You know what I mean? So in all things. And, you know, there's the easy things or the big things. I'll say the big things because the big thing might not be the easy thing for you or whatever, vice versa. But, you know, there's the big things like, oh, you know, illicit drug use, you know, whatever, man, you know, adultery. These are big things, right? But he said in all things. So we think about the big ones, you know. Oh, I can't believe she did that. Did you hear about that? You know, well, what about the gossiping, man? You know, what about that? What about that? He says in all things, and there is no little sin. There's no little sin, all right? You know, we can look at the big ones, and it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Can I get a witness? Like you going around just fearful. You know, God doesn't want his people to be full of fear. When I'm full of fear, it's because I got my eyes off of the Lord. When I'm full of fear, when I get all stressed out, which always leads to another sin. Each sin will always lead to another sin. It's going to do that. You know, when I get fearful, I'm going to start acting stupid. I mean like stupid. You know? So, look, in every athlete exercises self-control in all things. You can't just say, well, you know what? I got the big race coming up tomorrow against Bill Collins out of Arkansas. And, you know, I'm going to go to bed early. You know, I'm going to give me a decent night rest. You know, there's more to it than that, man. You know what I mean? You got to wear them fancy shoes, whatever. You know what I'm saying. How is old Bill Collins doing? I made that name up. There's moving forward. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. These guys, I mean, there was other bennies, there was other benefits, other things that were going along with this wreath. But the Apostle Paul is talking about how futile and silly these people would devote themselves to whatever this world would throw on them. They would certainly get a celebrity type status and all that stuff. You know, it was like this wreath, it ain't going to last forever, bro. You know, look at these fancy stars, man, you know. Top of the world 1 minute, household names 1 minute, and then you see them 5 years later just struggling to try and remain relevant, dude. And it's kind of sad sometimes, you know what I mean? You know, they get addicted to that. They get addicted to being that popular cat that everybody has to talk to and all that. You know, and when it starts waning or drizzling away, man, they start freaking out, man. They got to have it, man. Well, see, nothing in this world lasts forever. That wreath is going to wear out. It's not going to be there. You know, look at Matthew 6 and verse 19. Yep. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. God's not saying you can't be productive. He's not saying you can't plan ahead. He's not saying you can't be a hard worker. We need to be all those things. You need to be a hard worker. You need to think ahead. You need to put a little whatever. I'll do my financial sermon next week. When I get mine under control, we'll talk about it. You got to practice. Can I borrow some money from something other? Anywho, Matthew 6 and 19. He's saying, let these things have you. Don't let these things control you, right? Whatever you acquire here on earth, it ain't going to last, all right? Matter of fact, go with me to Luke 12, 19 and 20. This is cool. So this is the parable of the rich fool. Well, you know that rich fool. The parable of the rich fool. So here's the deal. Jesus is telling this story about this dude, super rich, got a lot going on, has a huge bumper crop, huge harvest. And he looks, he's like, you know what? I had such a good, productive year here. My barns ain't quite going to hold all this stuff, man. He's like, you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to tear down these ones, and I'm going to build bigger ones. He's a real smart guy, too. I'm going to build bigger barns, and then I can put my bumper surplus crop in my bigger barns. All guys, people said bigger barns. Say it three times real quick. Don't do that. Luke 12, 19 and 20. This is what he says. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. God's like, man, you know, you had a pretty good year, but this is your last night on earth, brother. This is it for you. No. This night your soul is required of you. I want everyone to think about this. And the things you have prepared, your big old barns full of all this, your fancy chariot, whatever you got going on there, fancy robe, killer sandals, and the things you have, have you seen all my sin? And the things you have prepared, listen, whose will they be? You ain't taking nothing with you. Yeah. You ain't taking nothing with you. There's one thing we can take with us, and that's souls, man. You know, that's the souls, you know. So that's the driving force of the Apostle Paul. It's like when he was talking about his acquirements and his resume. I mean, I don't mean acquirements. The things that he's accumulated, you know, his pedigree, his resume, and all this stuff. It's like, that's dookie, man. That's nothing. I don't care about that stuff. It's just Jesus. That's all I'm concerned about, just Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, every single area. We got to look for those things that are slipping under the radar that God does not approve of. Those things that are like, well, God just made me this way. No, he didn't. He didn't make you like that. You know, we all got things that we need to work on. You know, moving forward. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. None of this stuff's going to last forever. So we don't need to cling on to it. Receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. See, we're talking about eternal things here. So there are things that I can take with me. Yeah, I can be that witness, that's what God's called me to be, you know? And so we're talking about something that will not perish. One of the things we're talking about is eternal life. Okay, eternal life. Now keep in mind, talking about running that race, okay? It's not about a reward for running your race. You may or may not get eternal life. That is a free gift. You didn't earn that. That's how you got in the race in the first place. That's how you got in the Christian life in the first place, is God sent his son to die for you. And you said, man, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And bam, now you're in the family. Now you're in that race. Okay. You're not running, trying to be the best Christian you can be. So hopefully, maybe you might catch the eye of some deity and like, oh, you know what? I like you, kid. Come on in here. It doesn't work that way. That's a free gift. You accept it. Jesus Christ did that hard part. That was his race. Okay. Now here we are. Here we are. And the Apostle Paul still says this. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved. Isn't that beautiful? Believe me, that's beautiful. Because you ain't cool enough. You ain't rich enough. You wouldn't make the cut. I wouldn't make the cut. None of us would make the cut. Maybe Sister Claudia, maybe. If anybody had it, never mind. It don't work that way. Thank God it don't work that way. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. What's your part in all this? Jesus paid the price. I activate my faith. Say, I need you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And the amazing part is that he accepts us. You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? All right. Saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not a result of your works, not a result of works that no one may boast. That's one thing nobody can boast about. You know how I'm getting into heaven? You know what I'm doing? Nope, don't work that way. You accept what Jesus Christ did for you. But every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. But there will be an award ceremony. You know, just like Zach was, you know, showing off his awards and all that, you know. Well, not just like. You remember, we just read that scripture. Don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth can get to it and they rust and thieves break in. But the flip side of that is lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So God says, you know what? You got joys that you can't even comprehend yet waiting on you. I don't even know. I cannot even begin to really understand that. But here's the icing on the cake, man. Is this going to be so good? And so talking about the wreath or the crown, because it was a floral crown, the Apostle Paul made this statement a couple times. He's like, you know what? My imperishable, unperishable crown is or my imperishable wreath is? You guys, the guys that I led to Jesus Christ. That's all I'm concerned about, man. That's what I'm taking to heaven with me. You know, matter of fact, First Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our, this is the Apostle Paul. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? The Apostle Paul says, my crown is you guys, man. Yeah. I ain't worried about no floral wreath that's going to rot, fade away. You know, that's a fire hazard, man. You don't keep that in your house too long. Yeah. But I just want to serve God. I want to serve God. Because Jesus Christ took a hold of me. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't necessarily looking forward to it. I didn't even know I needed it. You know what I mean? But God reached down on the road to Damascus. Said, Paul, what are you doing? And that's what he's saying to all of us. What are you doing? What are you going the wrong way there, chief? What are you doing? God wants us to accept that gift and not just kill time till quitting time. Accept that gift and don't be satisfied with just being saved. There's nothing bigger than that. Huge price was paid for that. Huge price was paid for that. But God says, now I want you to be about my business. That means denying yourself and doing what God says. That means being obedient to what God says, even when my flesh says, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Saying no to sin is what I'm talking about. That sin that so easily entangles us and burdens us as we're running our race. I want to say this because I am stoked. I'm fired up about the fact that whenever I go home, that I am gonna go be in the presence of my Lord and Savior. Supposed to do a funeral today. People are going to eternity all the time. All the time. I witness it like crazy in my world. And you know what I'm talking about. So we have life and death is set before us. And you can't say, well, I'm not gonna make a choice. Say you're not making a choice, that's the choice you made. It's from the great theologian Rush. Just playing. Anyways, life and death is set before us. Eternal life or eternal damnation. It's not about you being good enough. It's not about you being cool enough or hip enough. It's about you realizing that I am a messed up person. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I know some people that aren't saved that are, you know, a lot better than, I mean, great folks, man. Great folks. But you know what? That's not going to bring in life. It's not going to bring in eternal life. I'm not saying you're a bad person, but I'm saying we've all fallen short. We've all broken God's law. Every single one of us have broken God's law. For all of sin and fall short of God's glorious standard. That's all of us. The wages of sin is death. Eternal damnation. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's that free gift, man. All you got to do is accept it. And you might be thinking, well, how do I do that? This is how you do it. You believe, you say a prayer and you believe it. You say a prayer and you believe it, then you will receive it. Jesus will take you up on that. God the Father will take you up on that, if that makes sense. Okay, let's just do it like this. If you want to have eternal life, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want access to God the Father, there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't say, well, I'm just going to do my own thing and I'm going to try and be a good person. It ain't going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for you. Okay, you've got to accept this precious gift. So if you want this, I want you to repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I know that you were born of a virgin and you died on that cross to pay for my sins. And you rose from the dead with victory over death so I will have eternal life. I will serve you and obey you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's really as simple as that. If you prayed that and you meant it, welcome into the family of God. You're a Christian.